have honored us by being with us today. And I understand there are some Shaw military personnel that's here. Well, I want you to know the Air Force is Shaw too. I'm just speaking. Good to have y'all with us. Well, the Lord is good. Y'all scaring me. I'm looking at y'all. Y'all looking at me. Matthew 12, again at verse 9.
Now when he had departed from there, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. And they asked him, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" That they might accuse him. Then he said to them, "What man is there among you who has one sheep? And if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value then is a man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and it was restored as whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and plotted against him how they might destroy him.
A key verse here is verse 12 of how much more value then is a man than a sheep. Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Now, last week we did an installation service of Brother and Sister Sanchez. And prior to that, we talked on the house of God and the week before that. And I'm not finished there. So if I go back and review one, we'll never be finished. We'll be into 2018 if I go back and review. So I am determined not to go back and review, but I want to pick up and I want us to go forward. I want to talk about the house of God. If it's God's house, then God should be in the house. And if God is in the house, then anything can happen in the house. Well, y'all clap. I like the way I feel right now. Amen. And so, in the house of God, there are certain things that should not transpire in the house of God. And there are certain things that should happen in the house of God. And I'm telling you, there is a restoration that's coming. Now, I can't speak for everybody else. Those that are sincere, those that are hungry, those pastors that's trying to follow after God's spirit, there is a restoration that's coming to the true house of God. God's going to put back in the house the things that used to be in the house of God. Hallelujah. With that being said, today I believe God's going to heal somebody in Jesus' name. I believe if someone needs to be delivered, they're going to be delivered today. I believe if someone needs to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it's going to happen today. I believe if somebody needs to be touched by God, God's going to touch them today. You know why? Because we are in the house of God. How many can feel the presence of the Lord in the house of the living God? Hallelujah. It may have First United Pentecostal Church out there on the sign, but any church with a name, that's not the important thing. We come up with these catchy phrases. I like what Brother Mike Johnson said, this point, that point, all these catchy things. You can have all these points, but if God is not in the house, it doesn't matter. In other words, what's the point? It doesn't matter what the name of the church is. God must be in the house of God. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads in praying over the word of the living God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, this is your word. We are your people. We are the sheep of your pasture. I'm asking, God, that your hand will rest upon me as your male servant today, God, to preach the oracles of God. I'm asking, God, that your word will prosper where it's sent today. I'm asking, Lord, that you would confirm the ministry of your word with signs following. I'm asking, God, that there be no doubt, no unbelief that's in the house of the living God. I'm asking, Lord, that your angels that are already stationed here, Lord, that they will minister on your command. I'm asking, God, that your angels will guard this place today. I plead the blood of the Lamb. Lord God, I'm asking that your presence would be felt among those that believe and among the non-believers today. God, let there be no doubt that this is the true house of God. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Can we put our hands together and give God some glory? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Sister Melon, if you would wait for me in Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. And so, we see in this passage of scripture here in Matthew 12 in verse 9, it said, now when he is Jesus, had departed from there, he went into their synagogue. Now, a synagogue, we gave the definition a few weeks ago. Synagogue is an assembly of people. Assembly of people that believe in God. It was a Jewish house of worship. In our terms, we call it a church. We call it a congregation. It is the house of God. And I stand before you again to say that if the church is the house of God, then God should be in the house. The presence of the Lord should be there. It should be no doubt in anyone's mind that they have had an encounter with Almighty God. This is God's house. This is not my house. It's not your house. It's not the organization house. This is the church of God. This is God's house. And so when people go through a dilemma, they go through a storm, they go through a trial in their life, when they get to a point when they have nowhere else to turn, they will make this statement, I must find God. I got to find God somehow. And the way they make a connection with finding God, they say, I must go to church. If I go to church, that's the house of God. If I go to church, I should find God in that house. What a tragedy it would be for someone that God has dealt with and God has placed it on their heart that they must find a church in order to have an encounter with God. And they walk into the house of God and God is nowhere to be found in the house. What a tragedy that would be. God desired to recognize his house. If God was manifest in the flesh today, would he recognize this as the house of the living God? Will he be able to feel the presence of God Almighty? Will the supernatural be manifest? Will people's life be changed? If somebody cry out, will God touch them? And they'll leave the house of God knowing, I had an encounter with God Almighty today. Can I tell somebody in the Holy Ghost, there's going to be a restoration to the house of God, that when they come in, they may not have known God, but when they come in, they say, wow, I have felt something I have never felt before in my life. Somebody ought to say amen. I know I'm fighting a little opposition today, but I'm going to preach. I'm going to preach the word of the living God. And the Lord is going to confirm his word with signs following. Woo! Oh, my. I want you to go here with me, and we're going to read something here. Very familiar passage of scripture. It's a little lengthy, but when I was sitting down yesterday evening, this scripture just came to my mind. Go with me to Psalms. Psalm 73. And I'm going to read. I'm again at verse 1. And I just want to read this. I want you to know it's important. I know last... Oh, I better just keep going. Jesus, be a fence. Psalm 73, if you're there, say amen. Amen. Truly, God is good to Israel, God's chosen people, to such as are pure in heart. They have a mind that's focused on the Lord. But the psalmist said, but as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps nearly slipped. For I was envious of the boastful. When I saw the prosperity of the wicked, it did not make sense to him. He was living for God with everything that he had. And there's times we feel like living for God. It's just we're struggling and we're just trying to make ends meet. And it's one battle after another. And the adversary would paint a picture of those that don't live for God. And he will tell you that they're getting along very well. They're not living for God and they are prospering. That's a lie that comes from the very pits of hell. It is a trick of the enemy. His whole purpose is to get you to back up on God and to walk away from God. But somebody got to have their mind made up. It doesn't matter what I go through. God has been too good to me. And I'm not going to turn my back and walk away from God. Oh. He said, I was envious. Of the boastful, and when I saw the prosperity of the wicked, for there is no pain in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride served as their necklace. Violence covered them like a garment. Their eyes buzz with abundance. They have more than a heart could wish. They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak lofty. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongues walk through the earth. Therefore, his people return here, and waters of a cup, of a full cup, are drained by them. And they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? And that's what they want us to think. How do God know? Do God even know what you're going through? Do God even know where you're at today? Do God even hear your prayers? Do God know the storm that's in your life? Do God know the problem? Do God know the darkness? Do God know the sickness in your body? Do God know the pain in your heart? That's what the adversary will tell you. But can I tell you ahead of time? God know what you've done this morning. God know what's on your mind right now. God know the valley you went through. God know the storm that's in your life. And if you learn to call on the name of the Lord, God will meet you in the valley. God will stand with you in the storm. God will walk with you in the fire. God will heal your body. God God to answer your prayer. You got to make up your mind. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in the house. I am preaching also to a spirit. There is no backup here. The truth will be proclaimed from this platform and from this pulpit. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in the house. And so this is the question that the wicked in their arrogance will put in the minds of people. The Bible said, behold, these are the ungodly who are always at ease. They increase in riches. Surely, the psalmist said, I have cleansed my heart in vain. No one has cleansed your heart in vain. If you're trying to do right in the sight of God, and it still seems like everything is going wrong, you have not cleansed your heart in vain. There is a purpose for you cleansing your heart. There is a purpose for you getting your heart right in the sight of God. You may not see it right now, but you hang on to God. Don't be weary and well doing. He shall exalt you in due time. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. And so the psalmist began to question why he was giving God his very best. He said, I washed my hands in innocence. For all day long, I have been plagued and chastened or corrected every morning. If I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children. When I thought how to understand this, how is it that the wicked prosper? How is it that they seem like they gain more? How is it that I live for you and love you and it seems like I'm plagued and I go through the valley? I cannot understand this. It doesn't make any sense at all. But look what the psalmist said in the next scripture. If you put that up here. When he said that, he said, until. Come on, somebody. When he was out there in the world, he was all confused. When he was out there in the world, he couldn't get his mind straight. I feel the Holy Ghost. There is a purpose for the house of God. Until I went, come on somebody, into the sanctuary of God. What happened when he got in the sanctuary? The sanctuary is the presence where God dwells. It's the dwelling place of God. I was all confused, but I walked in the house of God. And all of a sudden, he began to open my eyes. All of a sudden, God gave me direction. The Lord let me know. I almost slipped until I went to the house of God. And I understood therein. Come on, somebody. I feel the Holy Ghost. There's a purpose in coming to the house of God in Jesus' name. Listen, if it's the house of God, God should be in the house. Oh, and for those that probably should be here today, and you're watching by live stream, I don't care who you are, I don't care what status you have in life, friend. There's a purpose of being in the house of God. If it's the house of God, there's only certain things you're going to get in the house of God. Don't let the devil lie to you. I can come and go as I please. You need to make your mind up. I'm going to the house of God. Listen, he was messed up until he walked into the house of God. And maybe somebody was ministering and they didn't know that God moved on them because God says somebody come in here confused. Somebody needs some direction and they walk into my presence. And so let me move on the man of God, whoever is ministering the word of God, and let me speak in their spirit and give them clarity. Come on, somebody. There is certain things that should happen in the house of God. We're going to stay with this. Now, to list this here. In Hebrews 10 and verse 25, the Bible says this, and I'm going to read it in the Amplified. Not forsaken, not forsaken, or neglecting to assemble together as believers, as is the habit of some people. It is the habit of some to forsake coming together with believers. It's the habit of some neglecting to assemble together in the house of God. And so the writer, he's admonishing the people, not forsaking nor neglecting to assemble together as believers, as is the habit of some people, but admonishing, warning, urging, and encouraging one another all the more faithfully as you see the day approaching. What day is that? I don't know how long it's going to be before the Lord comes back. Listen, we got problems with Kim Jong-un in North Korea. Boy, he is. We got problems with Iran. We got problems with China. Got problems with Russia. And I don't know. I'm not getting into prophecy. I don't know when the Lord is coming back. Let me bring it home. I don't know when the Lord is coming back for you. We don't know the time, nor the day, nor the hour. Somebody hear me in the Holy Ghost. That you don't know when God's going to call you home. And so every opportunity that you have, you should make every effort to be in the house of God. God have everything you need in the house of God. God has your answers in the house of God. God have your healing in the house of God. God have your deliverance in the house of God. Oh, somebody ought to say amen. Boy, I feel the Holy Ghost in the house of the living God. Listen, David made this statement. He said, I was glad. I was satisfied when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. You know why? Because he knew that he would encounter God Almighty in the house of God. David knew whatever he needed was in the house of God. David knew his answer was in the house of God. David knew his strength was in the house of God. David knew that the enemy could not touch him in the house of God. Come on, somebody. Somebody got to make up their mind this year. I got to make every effort to be in the house of God. Boy, I feel the Holy Ghost. There's a restoration coming. There is a restoration coming to the house of God. I'm trying to stay away. Let's go to Luke. I'm trying to stay away from something. Luke chapter 4. Listen to this here. Luke 4, and whatever I gave you. Luke 4 and 16.
So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was.
As his what?
Custom was.
Say it again.
And as his custom was.
As his custom was. Wait a minute. Jesus had a custom. His custom was his habit. As his habit was, he went into the house of God. The man Christ Jesus was faithful to the house of God. Let me say it again. The man Christ Jesus was faithful to the house of God. It means a conventional practice. It wasn't something that he just talked about, but he was there in the house of God. Now, it's the reason why some people may not want to come to the house of God. We're going to talk about that. But if the house of God is restored to what it's supposed to be, friend, we won't have enough room to keep people out of the house of God. Oh, that's one or two of you. Let me say it again. If we allow God to bring a restoration to the house of God, we won't be able to keep people out of the house of God. Because every service, somebody can be healed. Every service, somebody can be filled with the Holy Ghost. Every service, somebody can be baptized in Jesus' name. So, let's look at this here. Let's go a little bit farther. Watch this here. As his custom was.
He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read.
Now, the synagogue, we know that's the house of God. They went on the Sabbath day. The Lord established this day in the Old Testament. 6 days mankind can work, and they cease from their work on the seventh day. It's called the Sabbath. You know, the Sabbath was the day that they dedicated, they gave to the Lord. They will worship and be thankful to the Lord on that particular day. If we had time, we can do the study in Corinthians and the book of Romans. Every day is unto the Lord. Everything we do is unto the Lord. Everything we do not do, we don't do it unto the Lord. So every day is the Sabbath. But we as mankind, we have ordained for this congregation that Sundays and Wednesdays is the day that we choose to gather together as believers. And so those two designated days when we gather together as believers, these are our Sabbath days where we gather together in the name of the Lord in the house of God. Jesus said, if any two agree as touching anything, or two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst, in the middle, in between them. So there should not be one service that you come to that you have a need that God cannot meet your need. It's all in the house of God. So watch this here. There Jesus going to church. And look what happened.
And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah.
So in the house of God, the word of God needed to be read. He was handed the book of Isaiah. Watch this here.
And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?"
Now, notice this here. What's so amazing, he read this in the temple. And then he said, today, everybody said today, this scripture will be fulfilled in your hearing. Where in the house of God. So here's some things that should happen in the house of God. The gospel should be preached, not to the poor as far as finance, those that are destitute, lacking the things of God. The gospel should be preached in the house of God. It doesn't matter how your heart may have been broken, but in the house of God, your heart should be healed in the house of the living God. Somebody say amen. Whatever vice you have, whatever thing that you don't have the victory over, you can be delivered in the house of God. You should be set at liberty. If something is captivating you in the house of God, you should be set free. And then he said, and in recovering of the sight to the blind, if you lost your direction and you don't know what to do, you can't find your way in God. When you come to the house of God, he should remove those spiritual scales off your eyes and give you direction and let you know you do have purpose in life. You do have worth in the sight of God Almighty. This should happen in the house of God. I am bumping up against something, but I'm going to bump a little bit. Somebody need to have their eyes open today. Somebody need to realize you have value in God. God has a plan for your life. God has a purpose for your life. Lord, I feel the Holy Ghost. Not only did he say this here, he went on and said this, that to set at liberty those who are oppressed, depressed, possessed. It doesn't matter. If you walk into the house of God, God will set you free. Let me say it again. No more drugs, no more alcohol, no more demonic possession, no more lying, no more cheating, no more stealing. Hear me in the Holy Ghost. No more living a promiscuous lifestyle. God can set you free today in the house of the living God. You know why? Because the presence of the Lord is in the house of God. I want to know if anybody wants God to restore. Anybody want God to bring a restoration back to the house of the living God? Just bear with me. Let's go back to where we started. Let's go back to where we started. And Sister Melon, if you'll be waiting on me in John chapter 2, verse 13. We started out here. In Matthew 12, and we looked in verse 9, and here it is. The Bible said when he had departed from there, he went into their synagogue. If the Lord is not there, it's their synagogue. And behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. In other words, he lost function of that hand. That hand had drawn up in the joints and in the muscles. He couldn't move that hand. He couldn't use that hand. And here this man is in the house of God with a withered hand. And I don't know how many times he have came, how long he's been faithful to the house of God, but yet there's nothing happened in the house of God. That's not the way it's supposed to be. God, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house today. Some of you are sick today, and some of you got things going on in your body, but you hear your bishop in the Holy Ghost. If you believe the word of God, and this is the house of God, and we're gathered together in the name of Jesus, whatever your need is today, you hear me in the Holy Ghost, if you have the faith, God got the power, and God will heal your body today. Oh, that's about half of it, but let me say it again. If you got the faith, God has the power. You're in the presence of the Lord. He'll heal your body today. Oh my God. Listen, here this man is. How long he's been there, I don't know, but the true presence of the Lord walked into that synagogue. And he recognized the man that had the withered hand. And I want you to know, God, listen to me. God knows exactly where everybody's at today. He knows exactly what you're going through. He knows what you prayed last night. He know what you have plead with him for. He know if you're wavering in your faith. He know if you got doubt in your mind. Somebody hear me in the Holy Ghost. Whatever you're going through is not going to surprise God today. And it's not going to make God get fearful and run away. Whatever you're going through, friend, God knows. So you might as well, when the water is troubled today, you might as well make up your mind. I'm going to step into that water, and I'm going to be set free today. God's going to meet my needs today. How many know that God is able? How many know that God is a healer? How many know that God is a deliverer? Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Now, I don't want to hear it today if you believe this is the house of God. When I went to the doctor, and I believe in doctor, my daughter's a doctor, Brother Trina's a doctor and stuff, and God has given him the knowledge. But don't you let it be an excuse today where the doctors told me that this can't happen, so I'm not going to come and get prayed for. I'm going to tell you there's one greater than any doctor that's in our midst today, and his name is Jesus. You got to make up your mind. I'm going to go forth and I'm going to be healed. Woo, I feel the Holy Ghost in the house. I feel the Holy Ghost in the house. The devil is a liar. He will tell us that God don't heal today. And that God is not able. And that this can't be the house of God. Oh yes, this is the house of God. Somebody, I'll just throw your hands up right now. I said, God, here I am. Heal my body. Deliver me in my mind. Make me whole. Open doors that no man can shut. Hallelujah. That's all right. You're not hurting anything. Come on, just leave those hands up in the air just a little bit. Somebody need to reach up and say, God, I believe you. I believe you. I know you're in the house. I know that you're able. I know that you can. Hallelujah. God, help us. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Come on, that's all right. Let's just stay here a little bit. So God, I'm not moving until I get what I need. I'm not moving until I feel a touch in my body. I'm not moving until I feel like I've been delivered. I'm not moving until I feel like I've been healed. Come on, somebody. God is in the house. Sister Ruth, you come. I'm not going to go any farther. I want you to just hear this part here. I'm going to stop here. Those that are still up here, I want you to stay. And I'm talking to some, you know you got some issues in your life. And listen, this is what you're saying in your mind. Well, if God wants to do it, he'll do it. And you sit in the presence of God and you're not making any effort. You make no effort. God makes no effort. That ain't popular. Let me say again. You make no effort, God makes no effort. Listen to this here. Why don't you stay standing? It'd be foolish for me to continue to try to preach. Listen. When he saw the man with the withered hand, they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath that they might accuse him? Then he said to them, what man is there among you who has one sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, this helpless sheep fall into the pit on the Sabbath? Will you not lay hold of it and lift it out? Will you not help that sheep on the Sabbath? Of how much more value then is a man, a mankind, than a sheep? I'm going to tell you, friend, in the sight of God, your life has value to him. You are important to God. The Bible said, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole wide world but loses his soul? In other words, your life is worth more than all the money in the world. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You are valuable to the Lord today. Now look, they're looking at him. Wait a minute. This don't supposed to happen in the house of God on the Sabbath. They don't supposed to act like this, those religious folks we have among us. Why are you doing all that? All that's not necessary. Okay? He said it's here. Then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. If you're going to be healed, delivered, set free, if God's going to bless you, then you got to move, my friend. You got to do something. If that man would have made the effort to stretch out his hand, he would not have got healed. I'm telling you, friends, spiritually, you need to stretch out your hand today. And he stretched that withered hand out, and it was restored as whole as the other. If you have a need, you need to move. You need to lift your hands. You need to lift your voice and say, God, here I am. I'm done. I'm done for the day. I'm done. It's between you and God right now. I'm done. You can strum anytime you want to. It's between you and God. I'm done.